Hi, everybody. I'm Jordan Roberts. This week on the Expect a Miracle podcast, we're going to take you on a special prayer journey as we prepare for the upcoming election. We're going to use parts from my dad's series, 30 Days of Praying for Our Nation, as a roadmap, also with some prayers from my mom, leading us through several topics that plague the minds of so many. While it is undoubtedly a concerning time, we believe that God's not concerned. See, that's the thing about God. It's that he knows and sees things that we can't. That's why he asks us to trust him, to surrender to him, to know that no matter what we face, he is at work in the deepest parts of our lives, and he cares. So, what are we to do when we encounter uncertain times? The book of Philippians says this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. While prayer can be defined in many ways, it's most certainly a way that we give over to God the things that concern us or burden us or worry us. But it's so much more than just a good venting session. It's a way we rid ourselves of the heavy things that life tries to put on us. It's easy to become so overwhelmed with what we face that we can easily forget the things that we've faced before, the things that God has already brought us through, the times that we thought we wouldn't make it, and yet here we are. Psalm 100 says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we're going to start there with gratitude.
Heavenly Father, we come to you and come before you with hearts overflowing with gratitude for the blessing you have bestowed upon our country. We thank you for the freedom, the opportunities, and abundance that we enjoy. Help us as citizens to cultivate a spirit of gratitude and contentment, recognizing that every good and perfect gift comes from you. May gratitude fostering unity and humility and a deeper reverence for your provision, we offer our heartfelt gratitude to you. And we pray that gratitude becomes a defining characteristic of our nation. Amen and amen. Now, there are specific scriptures for you to pray out on your own, and here they are. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The second scripture is Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And then Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. The idea is that we're better together. And not just better, but stronger, more effective. Yet if you take a look around, we couldn't be more different. And it can be easy at times to let those differences divide us. We all have opinions. We have convictions. We have a way that we think things should be done. Because of this, we need God to do what only God can do, to help us to unite our hearts despite our differences, to come together and realize what we have in common is far more than what we don't. Let's join my mom as she prays for unity.
So, you know, we're hearing the word unity kind of tossed around a lot, especially these days. And the funny thing is, as people are talking about unity, it seems like they need to talk about unity because there's so much disunity. And unity to me really means a very strange word that people sometimes get offended by, and that's the word submission. But submission means getting under the mission together for the success of the mission. That's what I see about unity. It's getting together for the good of the overall mission of the nation, the people in the nation, the children in the nation, even the businesses and the ministries and the things that really make this nation wonderful. So I see unity as coming together, not just because we all agree on things, because, you know, sometimes we don't agree on things. But what I'd like to see is we come together for, as they say, the greater good of this nation, to be a strong and powerful witness as a strong nation, and as it was originally constructed, a strong nation under God. So in the name of Jesus, I pray for unity, unity in our families, unity in businesses, unity even out on the streets and the highways. I pray for unity in our families, unity as a nation. It's not about political sides on this side or that side, because that can create an enormous amount of disunity. But what we can agree on is that center point that can make this nation a nation under God, strong, so that the people in the nation can be strong and prosperous. And that's my prayer, Lord, for this nation to be strong, to prosper, for the people of the nation to be strong and to prosper, to be in health in every aspect of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And now some scriptures about this. Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. And let's add 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. 1 Corinthians 1:10. And here's one I think that is simple, but really, honestly, very profound. Psalm 133:1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
The book of Proverbs says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Obviously, it's not talking about the thoughts we have at random. It's communicating something deeper. It's the idea that what we believe is what we become. If you don't believe you are worthy of good things, it will probably be difficult for you to recognize good things, even when they happen right in front of you. This principle is found all throughout Scripture. We get what we believe we will get. So let's start there with right believing.
Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We humbly come before you, praying for righteousness to permeate every aspect of our nation. Righteousness is right believing. We ask for your Holy Spirit to convict hearts, leading us to pursue righteousness in our thoughts, in our words, and in all of our actions. May your truth guide our decisions, and may justice and integrity prevail in our society. We stand on your promise of your word, knowing that righteousness exalts a nation. Lord, we pray for a deep desire for righteousness to fill the hearts of our leaders, our lawmakers, and all of our citizens. Grant us the courage to stand for what is right and just, even when faced with opposition. May righteousness flow like a river, bringing healing, unity, and restoration to our land. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe. Amen and amen. Now here are the companion scriptures. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
I think one of the most difficult things about an election year is the chaos. I don't think I have to explain. You probably know what I mean. But God is not the author of chaos. In fact, Scripture calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. It teaches us that when Christ was crucified, he didn't just die for our salvation. He died so that we could all be at peace. Peace isn't just possible. Peace is a promise.
You know, I heard a sermon one time that was the most interesting thing on the word peace. And it has this unusual translation meaning destroying the stronghold, creating the chaos. I think Satan would love to create chaos in every situation that we face, and certainly during an election year. But we don't have to put up with that. no matter what's going on, in a sense, on the outside, or what we see on television, or what we see even in our communities, we can have peace in our hearts. And when we have peace in our heart, then we can transmit that to our home, our families, and even back to our community. So as we carry peace within us, we can carry peace wherever we go, regardless of what's going on around us. Peace within us can help us navigate any chaos that's around us. So let's pray. Right now, I pray in the name of Jesus for the peace of God, not the situation, not the circumstance, not even maybe your own thoughts, but the peace of God to transcend anything that you're going through right now, anything that you're perhaps thinking about or seeing on television or seeing in an election year. I pray for the peace of God to bring unity within your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, within yourself, so that as the peace of God rules and reigns in your heart, you can carry that into other places. I pray for God's peace to be your portion today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's seal this with some scripture. In John 14, 27, the Bible says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Wow, is that good. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God," Matthew 5, 9. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone," Romans 12, 17 and 18. And finally, Philippians 4, 7, "And the peace of God," I really like that, not the situation, not the circumstance, "but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
It can be tempting to get caught up in futile feuds about who's right and who's wrong. But the truth is, life is complex. The smartest thing we can do as Christians is to do our best and then trust that God will handle the rest. We have to remember our role. We are not God. We're humans. My dad comedically says it like this: "I'm not in management, I'm in sales." Humans are fickle and flawed and imperfect. Yet all of those things don't keep God away. In fact, they seem to make him want to be even closer. It's one of those things that our human brains can't really understand. When we remind ourselves of this, we humble ourselves under the hand of God, and we position ourselves to be used by that hand. So let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, praying for a spirit of humility and servanthood to permeate our nation. We ask for your grace to cultivate hearts that prioritize the needs of others above ourselves. Help us to follow the example of Jesus, who humbly served and laid down his life for others. We stand on the promise of your word, knowing that those who humble themselves will be exalted by you. Lord, we pray for a transformation of hearts in our nation, that humility and servanthood may become our guiding principles. Teach us to value others above ourselves, to extend a helping hand to those in need, and to seek opportunities to serve. May humility be the foundation of our interactions, our relationships, and may it bring healing and unity to our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here are the companion scriptures. Philippians 2, verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Then Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." 1 Peter 5, verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you." Matthew 20, verse 26, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant."
The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our hearts. Even when we're wrong on the outside, God somehow sees things based upon what's on the inside. We are all God's children, and because of this, it would be counterproductive to get caught up in arguments that just divide us even further. This is easier said than done, though. We need God's help, supernatural help, to see things the way that He sees them. To remember that despite our passionate views, at the core, we are all the same. Longing for love, looking for meaning, and wanting to be understood. When we see others through the lens we desire for them to see us, we're able to navigate troubled waters a lot more compassionately. So let's pray.
You know, I've heard Richard say repeatedly, compassion is that irresistible urge to rid a person of their problem. And that's a lot like Jesus. Jesus was moved with compassion, that urge to see a sick person healed, a person who's struggling to find answers to those struggles. So right now, I just pray for you. I pray for you with the compassion of God, that whatever it is you're going through, no matter what it is, the Bible talks about the name of Jesus being above every name named in heaven and earth, and at the name of Jesus, everything else has to bow. I pray for sickness or sorrow or trouble or fear or worry or doubt, whatever it is that is causing turmoil in your life, trouble in your life, confusion in your life, whatever it is that's causing unrest in your life. I pray for the compassion of Jesus, through the name of Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus, to come into your life today, come into your heart today, for you to be healed and whole and delivered and set free in every area of your life, for you to really be set free through the power and love and compassion of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Here are some scriptures about compassion. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. 1 Peter 3:8. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. As we continue to prepare for the future, ask God to speak to you, to show you the areas you may need to trust Him more. Areas that, if surrendered to Him, perhaps would change the landscape of how you feel or think or maybe even surprisingly act. God cares about you. He cares not just about what you're going through, but how you feel about it. So talk to Him. If you'd like a copy of the ebook guide we will be using for the next few weeks, click the show notes or visit richardroberts.org. Pray these prayers out loud and meditate on the scripture references. Allow your mind to be washed in the power of God's word. And then see what happens. You can follow Richard on social media at Richard Roberts Official or visit richardroberts.org for similar resources. And we'll see you next week.